Hey there, Ben Kissel here for Last Podcast Network. I want to tell you about my show, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. For more than 9 years, Marcus and I have strived to present you with the most accurate and honest political podcast out there. In these turbulent times, it's our intention to unite the country with impassioned debate that reaches out to the rational Americans who find their voices more muffled every day. Every week, I use my political science background, my experience running for office, along with my lifelong passion to stand up for the downtrodden, the wrongfully accused, and the invisible man and woman to bring you news like you haven't heard before. Let's face it, traditional news has failed us. We promise to always tell you the truth the best we see it, and I personally guarantee to not be swayed by hyperpartisanship, but be guided by facts. To listen, search Abe Lincoln's Top Hat on any podcast platform or go to lastpodcastnetwork.com and find it under shows. Hail yourselves, everyone!
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
Kissel, I think you'd look incredible with a cowboy hat.
I don't want to start wearing a cowboy hat. Okay, first of all, we were talking before the show about how people make music their identity and they change who they are. Maybe they're getting face tattoos now. I like old country music. Outlaw Country, Willie Waylon, The Boys, you name it.
The Boys.
But I'm never going to wear a cowboy hat. I am already 6'7" in a cowboy hat. If I wore the boots, I would be well over 7 feet tall, couldn't get on a plane, couldn't walk in a door. It would just be embarrassing.
Make them, first of all, show the world how the holes to these things need to be bigger. And that's a part of how your life would be. And then you just have the power of what's great about the cowboy hat is the ma'am.
Yes, I do like that. I would love to tip it. I like the idea of maybe some rain falling down upon it. I like the idea of having to get one of those little plastic things that you have to put over your cowboy hat so it doesn't get wet in a storm.
I'm just saying, when I wore my cowboy hat for the limited period of time that I was doing it, I felt a lot of power.
Right.
And I want to go back to it, like, because I had that big taco shell hat that I got in Dallas, which I'm going to do again. I'm going to get another one.
Good.
I want to start adding it to my dress. Like, my dress wear, because I think it's fun.
Well, what mood do you have to be in to wake up in the morning and be like, today's a cowboy hat day?
Horny as all get out.
All right. Well, you got to wear pants. Okay, everyone, this is Side Stories. I am Ben Kissel. There's Henry Zebrowski, cowboy Henry Zebrowski, some days of the week, evidently.
I don't really want to be taller. I don't care about being taller, but I like the idea of having a really big hat. Just because it'd be fun, because then people think you're important.
I don't know if that's true, but okay, perhaps I'll go through a cowboy hat phase. I'm not going to get a little bad. I'm not going to wear a vest. I don't
know. No. Exactly as you are right now, big hat.
Big hat. All right, well, feel free to let me know what you think, audience. Should I have a hat? Maybe Photoshop me with a hat. Give me an idea of what I'd look like, and perhaps I'll be swayed and purchase a hat. They're very expensive. You get a good cowboy hat, you're looking at $400-$500.
That's what I'm saying, and people know it's quality.
That's true, and I will say this about the American cowboy. Very understated, they love flair. American cowboys, Texan men, they dress up more than anyone in the Midwest. The Midwest is sweatpant country, and I like that about them. Stay cozy, stay warm. But my God, the amount of effort the cowboys put into what they look like and what they wear every day, it takes them 45 minutes to get dressed.
It is a very important part of their culture.
It is.
I think that it's nice that they do it. I like that they look presentable. I like a uniform. I like the idea of choosing all the things. I'm trying to get better. Like, you know what's really seems strange? Specifically over the last, 2 years, I like the dad shirts.
What is
it? I like the little button-down shirts with little things on them, right? But it seems hipster culture has caught up to me. And now every company that goes and they make the shirts with little things on them. And they're great. And now I just get 20 of them. And then that's me dressing up. Because the best part about it as a man is that you can fool people into thinking you're dressing up.
Right.
By just wearing a shirt with buttons on it. Technically, it takes less effort to put that shirt on than it does for me to put a t-shirt on.
Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland. They wore some cowboy hats in the movie The Cowboy Way. And I watched it as a child. And I thought, they're pretty cool. But then again, they're not 6'7". So I don't know. They look a little bit. Woody looks good in anything, even with nothing on. Woody Harrelson looks great. And Kiefer, I mean, I would love to drink with him. He's one of my favorite celebrities to get hammered with. It just seems like it would be fun. But he can look good in anything too.
Honestly, you'd look really good. Wait till you're back on the campaign trail.
Uh-huh.
Because it shows that you're down at home. It shows that you're with the people and that you are taller than everyone so that you can look past the horizon.
Right. That's a very good point. Channel my inner Rick Perry. Take a limo to a pickup truck. Change out of my suit. Put on normal people clothes. Go door to door and then reverse the process until I go back to my mansion.
Push the lie.
Perfect. Of course, yes. And by the way, Henry mentions how everything, doors need to be bigger. Some of these airplanes we've been flying on, buddy, I weigh more than them and I'm longer than them. I feel like I'm getting into a Geo Metro that can fly. It's been a little scary.
No, planes are really small. And I know it's attributing to your fear of flying.
Oh, yes. I'm doing
not
it.
Not to have a moment of vulnerability like we haven't had in the last couple of weeks. Well, but you truly are afraid of flying. And a part of it, I do will say it's part of you being uncomfortable. Where for me... Like I do get smaller, but it's still very uncomfortable for me.
Oh, it's uncomfortable to fly in a plane. For everyone.
I'm always touching somebody's knees.
Oh my goodness! I mean, it's impossible to see. That's why. Anyway, you got honestly, what you got to do is just spend as much time in the bathroom as you can. That's what I say. But then,
honestly,
of course, everyone
it's so
else
nice you can go in there and they can't kick you out.
They can though. They can.
What's the hour? I'm gonna look this up. How long?
Oh, you got
no. It's just a mutiny that happens.
Yes, it's a mutiny. There's only two bathrooms on there, and if you're coach, there's one. If you're in the first class, there's not enough bathrooms to facilitate.
No, dude, you have all the power when you're in the bathroom because it's like when you occupy Australia during Risk, and you have that corner to defend. Coming at me when I'm in a corner.
Oh, well, let's not
coming at me while I'm in a corner.
Risk the board game, ladies and gentlemen. Very exciting game. All right. Well, Henry researches.
Here we go. Let me see it. So everything that you never wanted to know about airplane toilets. That's what it says here.
I don't.
We're gonna have stories today too. Absolutely.
Okay. What's one thing I never want to know about an airplane toilet?
You should not be flushing them while you are sitting on them.
Whoa, that's like a very basic.
First of all, what kind of fucking maniac? What maniac just thinks being like, yeah, I don't see how much suction my asshole can take. Like, like, yeah, it's gonna be, let's see what it does.
Well, why would you
but
flush it?
It will pull your fucking asshole out.
Yes, I don't know why anyone would flush it while you're using it. Okay. All right, well, that's good to know, just in case,
I guess. Where they keep the black box, weirdly, inside the toilet.
No, yeah. I can't imagine.
From an audio perspective, that is very strange.
Your shit comes out of the bowl at a velocity faster than a Formula One race car. Because of the suction.
Oh, my goodness. Well, put a little hat on it so it doesn't get hurt, then.
So it doesn't shoot it out. I used to think it used to shoot the shit out in frozen chunks, but it doesn't. They don't do that anymore.
Yeah, the movie, it's not freaking, what was the name of the David Spade film?
Joe Dirt?
Yes, it's not the movie Joe Dirt, where they have a huge piece of frozen dung that he thinks is a meteorite.
Don't flush while seated. What kind of fucking evil Knievel are you? You're living this life? You really want it? You want to chance that shit? I really hate? This is, you want to talk about a Kathy corner over here? When you're in a public toilet and the sensor's really sensitive.
Oh, yes.
And it flushes as soon as your ass lifts the seat. Right. And then you got that like five stray droplets of water that just go, blink, blink, blink.
Right.
Like your asshole is Jupiter and the gravity is just like sucking them in. I hate that. No, that's the worst. Because you can feel how wet it is. You can feel it soak into your membranes.
Oh, yeah. I hate an oversensitive self-flushing toilet. I say that every day while wearing a cowboy hat. Okay. First story of the day. This is a story that I absolutely love. And let me just say, speaking of politics, this gal has my vote. She's a cheerleader. She's 17 years old. She's running for homecoming queen. She allegedly gave out pot brownies trying to win. School officials in Michigan say a cheerleader allegedly doled out pot brownies to students at her high school in an effort to secure the necessary votes for homecoming queen from her classmates. I'm going to say this. Legalize it. This is
legalize
how you win.
It.
This is how you win. No.
I will say it makes a lot of sense. My problem is that with making your own weed brownies is that they get very inconsistent.
Right.
They're very inconsistent. Some are stronger than others. It's not the best way to consume weed. I will say for her? Like, what, did people know they were weed brownies?
Well, this is, okay, the marijuana-laced treats were handed out to several students. This is at Hartford High School. This happened in late September. Authorities were first made aware of the situation after state police received an anonymous tip. So somebody narked about the brownies. Narc. The information was shared with the Hartford police. According to the local TV station WWMT, a cheerleader is suspected of baking a dozen brownies and then giving them out to students and including them in gift bags to some of the football players. The cheerleader, they said, we're investigating two things. Number one, some were put in goodie bags for players. Also, they were used to obtain votes for the Queen contest. So the local police is going to really, they're on this caper of who.
They have nothing else to do?
I guess not. They are really on the caper here. They're on the case of this woman, the 17-year-old, giving pot brownies to football students or to football players and students to try to get some votes.
She was already doing it.
I will say this, though.
She didn't need it.
Honestly.
She didn't need it. Fucking. This is not a half. This has nothing to do with the election. She was already doing it.
Have you not seen the movie, the Reese Witherspoon classic Election? High school.
Wait a second. Did you just call her Reese Witherspoon?
No, I said Reese.
Because that's incredible.
I said Reese
Witherspoon.
That is
an incredible burlesque name.
Wow.
I did not say.
I think you said
Did you
Greece.
Say Greece Witherspoon?
No,
because I am in, that is incredible. What a horrible name for her if she ever gains quite a bit of weight.
Oh my goodness. No, Reese Witherspoon. It is a classic film, Election. It's Matthew Broderick is in it as well. And that is, I'm telling
I remember.
You, high school politics are very intense. Very scary stuff. No. So you got to do something to get over the edge here. Although I would caution people. These edibles, and Henry, you can talk about this. These edibles. I don't want to get on my Bill O'Reilly no spin zone. I don't want to sound like a conservative grandpa, but they're a little too strong sometimes.
You know what? Is that you kind of got to get used to them. Once you get them in your system enough, you kind of know what the waves are. You know what you're riding. But that's the one thing about edibles, though, is that for me, it's more of an advanced user's technique of eating because the drug changes when you eat it, right? Because it's more of an hallucinogen. So you become – it's got a different effect. It's not quite the same. So know your dealer. I would also say when you're fucking – when it should be for 18 plus. I'm going to – that is my responsibility area.
Okay.
Is that it should be 18 plus, but I also understand you're going to get it anyway, so you better get it legit. It's better if it's legal. You can actually see how many milligrams are in each dose. Start small.
Dude,
always do this. This is if you are 15 right now, when I'm sure that you are, if you are handed a weed brownie, eat a corner of it. Wait for an hour. Wait. You have to be patient. Wait for the hour. Wait to see what happens. This is the only way I can help the youth.
All right. Well, Kathy Corner has ended. Cool Uncle Corner has begun. Very
I would
nice.
Be a great cool uncle.
Yes.
You eat a little bit and you work your way up. You can always eat more. You cannot eat less.
I will say this. Colorado, I know it's a wonderful state. We love Colorado. I had a situation where I bought this orange soda. And it was full of weed.
The weed soda, I think, is a bit much.
Well, it's
because
crazy.
You really can't measure it out.
No, you can't. It was 100 milligrams the entire, not the entire thing. It was 100 milligrams per ounce. And there was like 12, it was like 1,200 milligrams.
Oh,
and you know for a fact, so I had one sip, thankfully I read it. But then you know.
And you got a big mouth.
And I got a big mouth. And then you just know for a fact some kids are just slamming that and that they are having a fear and loathing in Las Vegas night. But unlike the movie, you can't push pause, you can't stop it. It actually happens. And when you're actually deep inside of a trip that you didn't know you were going to go on, it can be a waking nightmare. What also happened to me in Colorado. The weed beef jerky, which the beef jerky itself was some of the best beef jerky I ever had.
Because weed is a very good, it's got culinary, herb-esque qualities that make it good pairings with a certain, especially savory foods.
So I'm eating this weed jerky and everyone's looking at me like, no, dude, don't finish it. And I was like, why?
You're like, shut up, I can do anything. I believe in myself.
I didn't know there was weed in it. I thought it was just beef jerky.
No, you housed it on stage.
Yes.
And then we had to do the second show, and you were like, whoa.
Yeah.
I can see the look at your face.
I was horrified. And then cut 3 hours later, I'm in the shower, like the world's fattest Terminator, in a fetal position, just still sweating somehow. Oh, my goodness. Be careful.
I ate a metric handful of edibles and fell asleep in the San Diego airport. And right before my flight, I woke up, and next to me was a giant bottle of water, some Cheez-Its, and then on my phone were several browsers opened, all of which said, How too high, get down from high, come down high, flight while high. What about too high?
Dude, this is the kind of weed culture I like, because Denver started that shit, and LA kind of completes it too, with the very helpful community, which is nice. You always need to have somebody who ends up being a trip sitter for you.
I think he did it himself. He just forgot.
Oh, no, that was
That's
me.
That's incredible.
That was me looking up high, how not to get too high.
Oh, my
God. Yeah,
gosh.
You did good, man.
Be
Your
careful.
Brain saved yourself.
And honestly, if you have a friend like Ed Larson from the Roundtable of Gentlemen or Wizard and Brighter Side, never trust him. Because there are some people that are just barrels that can just absolutely consume anything.
Oh, you could take this amount. You could do this amount. I just did mushrooms with him again. It's always the same thing. He's like, oh, these aren't strong. He always says the same thing. And it's like, well, it's because you're 300 pounds of beef. So when you put it in your system, it doesn't have the same reaction with me. I'm technically petite. Out of nowhere. I'm a petite little thing. I can't have the same level. But just remember this. I will say one last piece of advice before I hit my story of du jour, which is when you put drugs in your system too, remember you did it, right? You put drugs in there. It's going to stop eventually.
That's
a part of it too. You just got to chill out. You know that you are not permanently insane. It will work its way out of your system. You just sometimes need to chill. And you know what's another really good way to do it? And maybe this is not recommended, but a really good way to get yourself out of a bad trip is to drink yourself into unconsciousness.
Well,
because then you just go to sleep and then you time travel to when the trip is over. But that's for 21 plus.
Right.
That's 21 plus.
Very good. All right. Just to close up the conversation here, or the story of the 17-year-old, police have said it appears that the edibles were either ingested or that some were flushed down the toilet. Superintendent Hubbard said in a letter to parents, please take some time tonight to discuss with your children that if at any time they become aware of a potential danger to themselves or others, it is their duty to report it immediately to a staff member directly. Our website's anonymous tip line, or okay to say. So basically, again, they're just having students rat out other students. Nonetheless, I don't know.
Fucking nerds.
Yeah.
You know what those parents are doing? They're looking for the brownies for themselves.
Yeah, most
That's
likely.
What I would be doing. I'd be like, you know what, Becky Zabrowski? This is not for children. You shouldn't have this. And then I'll just sit in the room and I'm bling, bling.
Yes, exactly.
Your daddy's going bye-bye. Daddy's time for watching Halloween 5.
Yeah, you would be watching Halloween 5, and most parents, or a lot of parents now, would be like, Last Man Standing, Tim Allen's show is back. We better get our edibles again so we can laugh so hard at Tool Time. It's not Tool Time anymore. It's Last Man Standing.
I tell you what, Wendy was alone in the hotel room the other day and I had to leave TV on. I came back in, found her watching Last Man Standing on CMT, and then she was on the internet owning the libs.
Oh my gosh.
Can't believe that.
Can't believe that.
Be careful what you let your kids absorb.
Absolutely. All right.
This next story. Okay. So this is a fun, after this conversation, this is a fun little thing to do for yourself. It's Halloween season.
Yes.
It's time to get a little wacky. We're getting closer and closer to the day. There are a lot of people out there, and this was technically broken on Vice, but it was another story. I love this conspiracy theory. There are people that think the United States of America invaded Iraq over Stargate.
Right.
That in 2003, instead of just going to invade Iraq under the auspices of Iraq had something to do with 9/11. We went to go topple the
WMDs
because of the weapons of mass destruction, all that shit. But instead, what we went was to go find essentially a Stargate that was left in Mesopotamia by the Anunnaki. Which is, and if you don't know exactly what a Stargate is, they're using the pop culture reference from the film Stargate. But really what it is a time space.
Right.
It's literally an area that will take you some other place instantaneously through some form of wormhole that apparently that they had found at some point within the ancient city of Ur. Saddam Hussein was revamping the Temple of Ur.
Right.
And so they have the ziggurat, which is a massive temple with a gigantic labyrinth inside, where they believe that the center of it was a Stargate. And they believe that Saddam Hussein had found this Stargate and that he was getting technology or something from it. He was figuring out how to use it. So we went there to stop him. But apparently we've had tabs on the Stargate since the 1920s.
Interesting.
Maybe even before that, that the British went in there. The UK apparently also has connections. They were part of the reason why they also wanted to join in, even after knowing for a fact that the WMDs were fake, that they went and all that. They were also involving themselves in the search for it because they wanted to get a hold of the Stargate with us and the rest of NAFTA.
You know what? For all the BS reasons, we went into Iraq. They started with, yes, 9/11. Obviously, Iraq had nothing to do with it. As a matter of fact, they did not particularly care for Al-Qaeda, as Saddam Hussein was on the front lines of defeating them in his own state or in his own country. WMDs, Hans Blick is like, found nothing. It was like Al Capone's safe when Geraldo Rivera tried to open
Geraldo.
It. Might as well have just been for a Stargate. I like this story. I kind of want this story to be true because then it doesn't make the Iraq War one of the biggest foreign policy blunders in American history and extremely useless when it comes to actual actually getting anything out of the amount of money and the amount of lives we lost there. So I like this.
Oh yeah, you mean what was the beginning point of our forever war that constantly feeds our military industrial economy? That's what we almost kind of did it on purpose so that we could be in the spot where we're at. But if you read on exopolitics.org, a research study was written by Dr. Michael E. Sala called An Exopolitical Perspective on the Preemptive War Against Iraq. And it does a full breakdown on the connection of the war in Iraq to Zachariah Sitchin and his research into the nature of the Anunnaki and their relationship with the ancient Mesopotamians. Woo! And how they were in charge of this Stargate. And that now it seems to following, it was hidden, and now it has fallen into the wrong hands, and now the U.S. has it, and I don't know what the hell it is we're doing with it.
I don't know. Maybe I would love to see Donald Trump watching his programs on it. I'm not even sure what exactly a Stargate again. According to Ancient Aliens researchers, it's a device that can allow you to use transport instantaneously to another gate, no matter the distance. But, you know, if you're going to lie to us anyway, take us into a war, make it fun. The Axis of Evil speech talking about, North Korea, Iraq. First of all, it's not an axis. But, yeah, if you're going to take us into a war based on lies anyway, make the lies fun. You know,
make the lies fun.
Sell me. That Axis of Evil speech would have been incredible if Bush would have just gone in deep on the Stargate. I'm like, okay, yes. Whatever.
Well, apparently, according to one of the aims of the Hussein regime was to control of the Stargate with some sort of the goal was to say hello to the Anunnaki and bring them back.
Okay.
So that's what he wanted to fulfill the prophecy.
I see.
That the Anunnaki would return.
So, yes. So, I guess the Iraq Stargate theory, it pushes and narrows this idea a little bit further of what Henry was just talking about, saying one of the technologies that were gifted upon the Sumerians were Stargates, and their positioning was one of the major reasons for the years of strife in the Middle East. It was not because of Western countries going in there and mucking up the works. It was because of the Stargate. So this story, really interesting, very interesting to say the least.
I think it's a fun rabbit hole. This study is wonderful. I do like there was one section of it where he's like, the primary evidentiary support for the above discussion is admittedly thin for conventional public policy experts and may sound better suited to a fictional thriller than serious public debate. From a conventional perspective, a scattered assortment of independent archaeological authors, radical exegetical interpretations of biblical texts, the writing of channels of ET knowledge, speculative papers from astronomers, hardly constitute a persuasive source of information for understanding the motivations of U.S. foreign policy. But they say there is some important circumstantial evidence.
I love it. So, and apparently the Stargate, where is it? It's in a city called Nezariah. It's about 370 kilometers southeast of Baghdad in the ancient city of Yir. Within that city is the great ziggurat, a massive temple which had a, you guessed it, Stargate. That is really the one thing about, well, there's many things, but one of the reasons I would like to go to the Middle East is the history. It's not where we all began, but they have many, many years of history well before our little time here as a relatively new nation. I would love to go check it out.
This is very interesting. They're saying here that one of the pieces of circumstantial evidence is the destruction of Columbia.
Oh.
during its final descent in February 1, 2003, which apparently held information because we had been scanning Iraq from space, and we had found the Stargate from space.
Huh.
This is very interesting.
Well, also, now there is, one of the disputes is over the location and the number of Stargates, but one thing that all the theorists do agree on is that the Iraq War wasn't the first time that a foreign power showed interest in it. In what sounds like a super sweet, this is according to the article, so I hate when the articles try to be funny. I will skip that over. They say the British were also fighting to control the Stargate in World War II. So it is, yes, seems like it's been going on for a little while.
Yeah, it has been going on for a very long time. What they're saying here is, I mean, this is thousands of years old, that they've held this secret. Because the idea is that, because if you, again, remember, the Anunnaki were part of the original god race that seeded us on this planet, and they came, they developed us from weird little ape creatures into a combination of their DNA, which made the modern human man, and we were used to mine for gold for their starships so they could make it back to Nibiru before it left our solar system on our gigantic, because you know we're part of a binary star system.
All right, according to Salia, very good. Salia also says the Bush administration recognized that Hussein had some very, very valuable, relevant information concerning the ancient history of the planet, either technology or texts, basically confirming this, and he was going to release this to the general public. I think this was a big part of the reason, this is again according to the researcher, I think that was a big part of the reason why the Bush administration went into Iraq to stop Hussein from revealing this information and also get control themselves. My goodness gracious.
According to them, they believe that the Bush administration was highly against disclosure, which I actually don't think they would have been. I think that Dick Cheney would have used anything to distract from all the shit that he was doing. And I think that if they had evidence of aliens, they would have driven it in front of people. I'm now starting to be in that line where it's like there are certain parts of disclosure that I don't completely understand. In terms of why don't we know? Why does the U.S. government have such a hard on of not talking about the UFO research that they've done? And I wonder why it's somebody like, I mean, George W. had fucking 9/11 to deal with. So that all that went out the window. They're not even going to be talking about aliens anymore. And Trump believes in nothing. So nothing matters.
Well,
anymore.
He might believe like in aliens. Who knows?
Yeah, he. Who gives a shit what he believes in? But a part of it's like it's very strange. It's just like, just come out and tell us the work you've been doing on
well,
UFOs,
we did
God
have,
damn it.
We did have that release. Of course, we know Harry Reid, the Democrat, he did admit to having a $20 million program. So there is a little bit more transparency than there used to be. I think as evidence continues to mount, perhaps we'll address it at some point. And will it unite us as a world or divide us as a world? That is the big question. So anyway, that's a fun little conversation about the Iraq War, a huge blunder. And by the way, as we always mention, George W. Bush is not cute. And that was a horrible time in American history.
He is a war criminal. But see, one day, man. One day we'll be able to get down to just like psychic problems, like real things that are a part of the reason why we can't evolve, because we can't psychically upgrade. And a part of it is understanding that we are all one giant being, including whatever else comes, and that the universe is both a making of our imagination and also contains our imagination. And if we can wrap our heads around that, I mean, then maybe we can fix the roads.
Well, the roads are something that nothing psychic about that. That needs, that comes from funding. And Domino's Pizza. All right, let's move on. South Carolina. Let's go to South Carolina. Beautiful state. I love South Carolina. I love North Carolina.
Grits.
Love grits. I love the ocean.
Love grits.
A South Carolina woman. Now, she has been charged with fatally poisoning her husband using chemicals found in eye drops. A South Carolina woman, she's been arrested. She allegedly poisoned her husband over a period of 3 days in July. Detectives in York County arrested and charged Lena Sue Clayton with murder and unlawful malicious tampering of food, although I don't think that eye drops are food because they make you very sick, even if they're not poisoned, of her husband, Stephen Duvall Clayton, between the dates July 19th and July 21st, July 24th, of course being my birthday. In the press release, the sheriff's office also shared that Stephen, 64, died on July 21st at their home, and that the investigation autopsy toxicology test discovered poisonous levels of a drug that I cannot even come close to pronouncing in the body of the victim, and they found it in frequently used eye drops. What I'm saying here is you can no longer get away with killing your spouse. You
cannot, in this academy.
Not in this academy. But you can't do it at all. We see it on forensic files all the time. And it's just
impossible. Stop killing your loved ones.
You can't do it. You cannot. Maybe
just don't do it.
In the 50s, I think you could do it. 60s,
maybe. You know what? You can do it.
No.
You obviously can do it, but you need to really think about it.
Well, how would you even possibly do it? You got all the tracking out there. You got so much DNA evidence.
I'm not going to sit and reveal my plans of murdering my new wife on this show.
You're not.
I can't do this now.
But that
I can't. I'm not doing this. All right, because I don't want to murder my wife. I want her to live.
Well, that seems a little scary. It seems like you really have a plan there. If you can't even share, like in jest, because this is a comedic program. There's a lot of.
Oh, I forget.
Yes,
You know what it is? I actually wonder if I was going to kill someone. They say you want to You got to get rid of the body, first of all.
Sure.
Because without a body, there's no crime.
Well.
That's what happens. I mean, there's a crime, but that is really what hinges. You're talking really about avoiding being found guilty in a court.
Right.
So what you need to do, in my mind, is, as suspicious as it is, to be honest, you got to blow up the house. It's even with an apartment complex. I mean, this is brutal, but technically you need to take out the entire building.
But when... They'd still find the body.
Unless you can get the heat so big.
Partially
is if you go, you make a friend with somebody who works at the airport. You get some airplane fuel, which it does take a lot of heat to go, too. It takes a lot of heat to ignite.
Right.
And so what I would do is something along the lines of you cover the whole house in airplane fuel, and then you spark the oven.
But wouldn't the neighbors realize that their neighbor is now dousing the entire apartment complex and laughing
until it smells like oil?
Until it's too
late.
No,
I'll be like, having a bit of a barbecue. Yeah. A lot of screaming and stuff. He's always funny.
Well, unlike you, Henry, although I'm not sure how your neighbors would describe you, Ken Sanford, who knew the couple very well, he told the Herald that he was in shock and that Lena seemed, quote, seemed like a sweet old lady. And I'll tell you one thing. That's why you can't. Who can you trust? Who can you trust these days? Old people, and I love old people. I love all the people. But they're kleptomaniacs, which is not bad. They've lived a long time on this earth, and they should be able to take whatever they want.
Love to F.
Oh, yes. Oh,
old
my
people
gosh.
Love to make it. Make it, man.
Absolutely. So Lena, she's 52 years old. She's currently being held in the York County Detention Center. It's unclear whether she has secured legal representation, but this is going to be an interesting case there. I
remember from West Memphis 3, going to say this again, get a lawyer.
Get a lawyer.
No matter what it is that you've done.
Ron.
Get a lawyer, even if you're innocent. Speak to no one unless the lawyer is standing right next to you.
Yeah, especially if you're innocent. I mean, get Ron Kuby. Get Kuby on it.
Get that Kuby.
Get Kuby.
Why do we want to kill our loved ones so much? Why is that?
Why do we
have to be, I do understand the sort of passions that come from knowing somebody from a long time and the things that first were cute and then are now annoying that eventually turn into a black river of hatred down deep in your soul.
Sure, sure. I don't want to, I'm not going to bring the Zabrowski family into this, but I will say, if you do want to play the long game, you just... Very buttery foods, very, very fatty foods, not a lot of exercise. Be like, just sit. Oh, do you want more cigarettes? Maybe you want some whiskey. Oh, we got some gin. Just randomly picked up that at Whole Foods. You know, you can do it. That's just the long game of, it'll take 20 years.
No, yeah. Even my mom openly talks about poisoning my father every time she can. She constantly brings up how she can't wait for him to pass, and eventually she will go to France with somebody she'll meet at the quilt store. She has a lot of escape plans.
Right, a lot of fun fantasies.
You know what? Here's a hot take. Just fucking get a divorce.
Get a divorce.
I know that it seems daunting to break up with somebody.
Yes.
I know it seems daunting, especially, and this is also, We've all been trapped in even semi-abusive, like the idea of being in a semi-abusive thing. So like, you just get your shit, you do whatever you take, you wait for them to go to sleep. Eventually, they got to go to sleep.
Sure.
Or you, and you get your shit. You get a go bag ready to go at any time, and you leave.
Right.
You just leave, and then you'll deal with the fucking shit afterwards.
Hop on out of there.
Before you kill them.
Well, that's the, you know, pulling the Band-Aid off. That's what you got to do. But, of course, we are not here. If you are in any kind of relationship like that, of course, yes, get help and get on out. Which is, of course,
yes,
much easier
please, yes,
said
calls.
Than done.
Absolutely. I mean, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm not a therapist. I just know for a fact that I have a go bag, but it's for me and my family, and it's for when the shit goes down.
Yes, of
and
course.
Eventually I will take all of whatever cash I have, and I will melt it down into a series of gold objects, and then that's where all of my money will be in the precious stones that I have. And then when I'm traveling amongst the Inca, at some point, right. Like down in South America, I'll be able to trade for goods.
But you do understand that it's mostly paper money that we deal with in this country, and that just turns to ash. You do know that, so it won't turn.
No,
to gold.
I'm saying I want to have
you're going to turn
I'm
your cash.
Probably,
are you going to go and turn your cash to gold? Or are you going to start? Giving,
I'm going to take. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
I don't think
I'm
that's
buy
a
big gold pentagram that I hang on the wall that is technically all of my money with rubies in it.
But then what about college? What about the college fund or just like random...
Wendy will have to go to get a job.
Wow.
If she wants to go to college. She's going to have to pay her own way.
All right.
And also, if we technically, if you go to Florida, you get the Florida prepaid. There's a lot of ways to get college set up for your child. And I mean, again, Wendy just has to do well in high school.
Yep, I hope she can. I really do. It's not easy these days. Maybe she can become
it's really not.
She can become homecoming queen herself. Just make sure your weed hasn't gone missing, because then she's giving it to the other kids.
And I'll be mad about it, being like, get your own damn stash.
We also have a tale here. Now, poisoning of the eye drops, that's one way to kill somebody. But evidently, there's another way that I will never be killed this way because I will never go skydiving.
So, it's Easter Sunday, 2015, Netheravon Field in southern England. 40-year-old Vicky Silliers jumps from a Cessna plane at 4,000 feet with a parachute strapped to her back. Unbeknownst to her, she has been sabotaged. And what starts as a fun Easter hop and pop ends in attempted murder.
Yes, and unlike Jesus, you cannot rise again. So do not
you
do
cannot.
This. Do not do this.
And on the ground below, watching from the parachuting facility, is Vicky's 38-year-old British military sergeant husband, Emil Silliers.
Okay.
He watches the events unfold with his newborn baby that Vicky gave birth to only a couple months prior. Vicky falls from the sky at 60 miles per hour as her parachute begins twirling up on itself.
Not good.
And she plummets to the earth from 4,000 feet. Miraculously, she does not die. She instead receives a broken pelvis and a fractured spine.
How the hell did she live?
Oh, how'd she not die?
Okay, well, let me illustrate with a quiz.
Okay.
So if either of you were jumping out of a plane, which I know for both of you is a complete and utter impossibility.
Yes.
Never.
Never.
Your parachute starts fucking up mid-jump. There is another skydiver next to you in the air, and you notice that you are also above a grape vineyard below. Do you A, try to grab the other skydiver and hope their parachute supports you both, B, aim for the grape vineyards below, or C, simply embrace death?
I would definitely grab the person next to me.
Yeah, I think I would grab the person next to me and try to use them as a surfboard, like Silver Surfer.
Okay, that's wrong.
Yeah, I'd be like, save me! Save me! Save me!
Why aren't
save
you?
Me! Save me!
So you both die. So the answer is to go limp and embrace death. And
oh,
so what,
no!
The thing
I
is,
can't, though.
The thing,
I never will.
But then you're still not happy. If after you embrace death and then you don't die, you're like, I just went through all the emotions.
In every case where somebody has survived a fall like this, the only reason that they live is because they hit recently plowed dirt. And
okay.
That is what
oh
happened.
My God.
That is what happened to Vicky Silliers.
Interesting. So honestly, if I would ever jump out of an airplane, which again, I it would require
can't
me
do,
to be on so many BLs, and I mean Bud Lights, I would have to be so hammered. They'd be like, that's a good idea. Let's do it. I'm going to face my fears that
no
I would
way.
Do it. And then honestly, I would go limp if I was about to crash though, because when you're hammered, your body's just like, all right, like it could go. I could maybe live. And then I would say, I would thank Bud Light for
so
it.
So according
not it.
To police and the parachuting facility and the courts, the day before Vicky did this jump, her husband, Emil Silliers, who is a decorated British military sergeant,
okay.
took her backpack into the toilets and then fucked with the wires.
What?
Oh, God.
And then the next morning he was like, hey, you should go for a jump. You just had a baby. You just had a baby 9 months ago. I think you should treat yourself to a jump, because she's actually an experienced parachutist.
Honestly, if anybody ever strongly encouraged you, be like, hey, you should go for a jump today.
Yeah,
that'd be great, right? Why, so what do you do? You trying to eat breakfast? No, we'll go for a jump.
I will say,
get up, let's go.
I did just go parachuting about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And
you're addicted now.
If you have a sapling of desire inside of your body to do that, I say completely embrace that.
Yeah, just make sure your relationship is really strong. Make sure that no one wants to kill you in any way, shape, or form. This does seem like an episode of Columbo. Doesn't this seem like a Columbo murder?
A week before the jump, Emil Siliers stays at his army barracks for the night, and leaving his wife and two kids in their home. And he tampered with the gas, as you guys mentioned before.
What?
He tried to get the gas to explode the house, and luckily Vicky catches it in time, fixes it, and then texts her husband, are you trying to kill me, LOL?
What is going on here?
If you have to ask that. If you have to ask it,
and
that's
one of those, if you haven't seen the gif of Kawhi Leonard laughing, it's very funny. That's one of those laughs where it's like, but seriously.
But you are though, right?
So he tries to kill her with that, with what was more of like a traditional way to kill someone.
Okay, so we got the exploding house.
And then now, a week later, he says, okay, let me up my game here. And twist some shit up in her parachute kit.
Did he buy a book like Elaborate Ways to Kill Your Wife? The world's most crazy ways to kill your wife? Like, how to make it even
kill
more
your wife the fun way.
So Emil Siliers has all the traits of a classic psychopath.
Interesting.
While Vicky was in her hospital bed, he was texting his girlfriend, who he had off to the side,
yeah.
Stephanie Gohlers, who was also a parachutist, and he was also texting his ex-wife, who he was sleeping with at the time, and also trolling for sex workers on back pages online.
Wow. So, interesting.
What he was trying
to do... You say trolling, I say searching.
Basically, he was trying to make a clean getaway from Vicky.
How would this make anything easier for him?
I guess
that's the problem. This made his life, obviously he's going to prison forever. It made his life much more complicated than it had.
Just break up. Just break up with the person.
Or don't date a skydiver. I don't trust these skydivers. They tempt death all the time. They think
all
about
day
death
long.
Constantly.
So everything becomes boring to them.
Everything.
So every single day. So you mean to tell me I'm dating a professional skydiver, and then I'm supposed to make love to this person, and I'm supposed to expect that gives them a thrill?
Yeah.
It doesn't give them a thrill. My body isn't flying out of a plane at 12,000 feet.
No. Basically, this guy approached murder as if he were... If James Bond had like a desk job...
Right.
This is the kind of shit that he would do.
Well, it's a good thing 007 was busy fighting all of those supervillains and saving the world multiple times over. This guy is like, he's like Deadpool. He's just like, he wants death, or I guess he wants, well, I guess death, yeah, Deadpool. He never really, well, nonetheless, whatever, he's a bad person.
Well, I'll also put it this way. He spent a lot of time, he could have been figuring out a way to get out of the relationship instead of figuring out how to murder somebody.
Well, he was also trying to get insurance money from Vicky's
death.
Ah,
there it is. It's the insurance money.
Because he spent all of his money, he's in crippling debt. Because he would go off on these excursions with Stephanie Gohler or
any
sex worker or his ex-wife. And so he was basically trying to clean up all of his debts from his fuck vacations with all these people.
See.
Yeah, but it's never like that.
It never works like that. No, because the detective always turns around in his trench coat with his little cap on. He says, one more thing.
Just one more thing.
When he was arrested, Emil only said to the cops, I'm disappointed that you would do this in front of my subordinates, which is a very cool...
children?
What a fucking bitch.
His subordinates. He was a sergeant in the army.
Oh, my God.
Crybaby. I'm sorry you got caught in your perfect crime.
I don't understand
the idea of making the perfect crime. If this is like, if you're ever in the middle of a crime plan and you're like, this is the perfect crime.
Right.
You might as well just buy handcuffs on Amazon and just take yourself to the police department.
Right.
It never is. You don't understand. Human life is far stranger than you want it to be. Things are not cut and dry.
So speaking of gaslighting someone, if you feel like you're being gaslit in a relationship, you most likely are being gaslit. This woman was mentally bullied by Emil. Victoria was mentally bullied by this guy to the point where so much evidence was presented in front of the court that Emil was the person who sabotaged her parachute, she initially acquiesced and said, yep, I guess that's the case. You're showing me all the evidence, and also you're showing me all the text message records of this guy cheating on me constantly. And then halfway through the trial, she becomes a hostile witness to her own murder case.
Really?
Because she says, no, this can't be the case. Emil loves me.
Oh,
he couldn't have possibly tried to kill me.
Oh, no. She went all the way reverse. She just lost. She's completely gone.
So, yeah, so she became like a Stockholm syndrome
prisoner. Well, now what happened? Was he found guilty?
So, actually, last May of this year, Emil was sentenced to prison for life.
All right. Very good. And she can walk and everything?
She actually made a miraculous recovery.
That's incredible. All right. Well, hopefully she gets the help she needs to, because obviously this guy had quite a grip on her mind.
Yes.
All right. Well,
now remember this, guys. If all of the signs are in front of you. If unfortunately you find a folder on your loved one's desktop that says how to kill Cheryl.
Right.
You know for a fact that's like it's not a bit. Even if he says it's a bit.
No,
that's not a good bit.
Oh my. Well, speaking of mind control, let's do this story. We talked about it a little bit last week. It's from an article. There's actually a lot of articles, but this one's called the name of this article, or the title of this article, is Leave No Dark Corner. So we'll just start you on this story a little bit more, kind of to extend the conversation we had last week. And we'll just follow this story throughout the year here, in the years to come, because it really is out of the television show Black Mirror. It's not an episode, though. This is happening in real life. So it's a dystopian vision of the future. It's already happening in China. The Communist Party calls it a social credit system, and it's supposed to be fully operational by 2020. On the last episode, Henry said, how are they tracking the people? Evidently, they're going to use RFID chips to track the people's movements, their cars, and obviously all the CCTV cameras that are all around China. So this is really a crazy story. What's going to happen is within years, and an official party outline claims, it will, quote, allow the trustworthy to roam freely under heaven while making it hard for the discredited to take a single step. If that's not horrifying, I don't know what is. The social credit is like a personal scorecard for each of China's 1.4 billion citizens. In one pilot program already in place, each citizen has been assigned a score out of 800. In other programs, it's around 900. And citizens with top scores get VIP treatment at hotels, airports, cheaper loans, and fast track to the best universities and jobs.
Yeah, buddy. No, it's about to, things are really going down in China. Woo. We're seeing it happen from the top down there, where here in the United States, we are sort of doing it to ourselves in terms of our own personal monitoring of ourselves and the giving in to the corporatocracy, buying Ace phones, buying all these things that are constantly tracking us. It's very interesting. We're going to be at a point in time where, do you really feel it's best to live in a world where, well, as long as I have nothing to hide and there's nothing wrong? And the idea of slowly but surely obliterating the idea of dissent, the idea that you can't even have thoughts in your own mind. There's no way you can behave. This constant idea that everyone has to be perfect, that we're all these perfect little angels with no pasts, that we have no weird views, we have nothing about us that's a little janky, this creating a homogenized group of perfect spherical brains.
It is horrifying. And if you go to this article, they show what the CCTV cameras look like, and they show how they monitor the people. And again, so basically, folks who are, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this in the context of our credit score system. And
yes.
So in the U.S., we have our credit score
system.
That
shit's for real, dude.
Well, yeah. And
that shit's for real.
And
I remember when I had bad credit, I was fucked.
Yes, you have bad credit, and that is a indication of your self-worth. That is an indication to how worthy you are of getting good loans or getting into the nice communities and things like that. In the U.S., however, you can build your credit score up. But, of course, we do have these kind of social systems in our country, too. This takes that to the next level, without to say the least.
It's like real-life clout.
It really is.
It is like
real-life
clout. Because a part of it is that your credit score, yes, we can increase it, and it's got a subtle effect on your life.
It does.
Things are things are fucked up. I mean, like, it's hard to get a car, it's hard to get a house, it's hard to do that kind of things, but it's a very subtle social deflection, or something like this, where it's really, really overt. And then if you listen to, they interviewed several citizens, which I'm certain we obviously don't have the entire purview of the situation, because it's going to be people that are only positively speaking about it.
Well, who would say anything bad about it? I would never say anything bad about it.
Yeah, they say, they're saying, we're getting used to it, though.
Getting used to it, though. That's absolutely horrifying. And that's an interesting thing coming back to our culture here. A lot of companies, when it comes to social media clout, they'll target people who have more of a following on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, all of these things. And they'll request that they become influencers and things like that. So it's interesting how we weigh our clout as well. So we're not squeaky clean on this by any means. And certainly New York City is a surveillance state. But this, again, really takes it to the next level, because if you don't have a lot of social media followers, you're still free to roam the streets. The government's not going to be like, stay in your home.
A part of the way United States works, what seems to be, is an unrepentant obsession with being famous. And a part of the way that they do it in our capitalist system is that we're supposed to, the idea is, reward those that are super successful.
Right.
And so a part of it now is that people are seeing the writing on the wall, is that if I, with a verified check, if I tweet at Delta, like if I have a problem with Delta, Delta gets right back to me.
Right.
Like they'll go into, because it's like, because I have the followers, and I can do what I want. People see that. They understand that in a way it's not equal. It's automatically in this little section here where it's not equal. The people are getting a little bit more of a, you get more customer service, you get this thing, where eventually everybody, and look at Taylor Swift now being really intense with her political views, and it's saying it's doubling voter registration in Tennessee. It's actually having a palpable effect. And so now we're going to see more and more people driven towards being famous, doing whatever it takes, and this weird, gigantic, self-fulfilling machine where you are nobody unless you're famous. It's very strange. We are sliding into Transmet fucking fast. Our heads are spinning.
It's funny though,
Transmetropolitan is one of the greatest comic books ever. What were you gonna say, Travis?
It's just interesting that, like, Ai Weiwei, which is one of the biggest political dissident voices of China, or he's no longer in China, but he has an Instagram following of 500,000 people. And so it's almost like, as we go forward, the battle between authoritarian organizations like the Chinese government and the voices of dissident are going to be fought. It's going to be fought on social media.
It's interesting how, right? Because it's true. Because a part of what Trump showed, right, was just the power of talking directly to the voters is what actually swung bullshit his way. And then what happened is that we are doing the same thing, where it's, you have these mass little clouds of mini populations that can be used like hammers against the powers that be.
Of course, Twitter is also, it's problematic in its own right. Speaking of authoritarianism, I believe that they have threads of that. And Google naturally just goes along with everything the Chinese government wants. So their Google is quite different. That's why, again, you got to use Bing or DuckDuckGo.
Bing, though. I don't want to use
DuckDuckGo. I heard that's good. Anyway, so
technically,
just
we should be downloading. Technically, everyone should be downing Tor browsers to start getting on the fucking. Where we start going into the breakaway internet. That's next.
I love
which
that.
I think will be very interesting.
They should. And just again, going back to this story here, the folks on the bottom are going to be locked out of society, banned from travel, barred from getting credit or any government jobs. The system will be enforced by the latest high-tech surveillance systems as China pushes to become the world leader in artificial intelligence. So the future is now, and I gotta say, it's not as fun as when I watched it in sci-fi films, when I was like, this is kind of cool. Like, it's fun to, like, watch, and then you still had, like, a normal society. But indeed, that's the war to come. So we'll keep
embrace
up
it, man. You know how to say, embrace the madness.
That's exactly.
Let's be better with it.
That's exactly what the Chinese people said they're doing right now with this social credit program.
That's not what I mean. I don't mean like it's not go along with it. It's just understand where we're at. Understand that this is what we're at right now is that things are very overwhelming and it feels like it's going at light speed. It is going very fast, but you can catch up by keeping yourself educated, understand where things are headed, and keep your own personal life together. like, love your family, do what you love, do all this stuff, like, try to hold it, don't be swayed by the entire machine, because you're also watching the machine whip you up into a place where you're entirely controllable.
So even the woman that they follow in this study, she works for the government, loyal Chinese citizen. She's only at 770 out of 800, so she can't even get a perfect score. Anyway, so we will continue to follow that story for you as they start to implement it. It should be coming in next year. And my God, I mean, China, talk about... It's just very bizarre to see this happening again in our lifetime, because technology is allowing it, and we have to be very adamant and control technology to be better, make good things for us, not all the bad. All right, well there you go. I guess that,
well there you go.
There you go. Well there you go then. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you so much.
I think we fixed it.
I think we fixed everything. We always fix it, you know?
We always fix it.
Every show, we fix it, we fix it, we fix it. Okay. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We love you very much. Thanks for giving to our Patreon. You guys are the greatest. Let's see. Anything else, Henry? Do we have any announcements to make?
Next week, we'll be doing Listener Posse. I'm very excited to get spooky again. Keep it out. Like, we've been watching horror movies. I'm making my way through the Hellraisers.
Oh, yeah.
I will say... Man, Hellraiser 3, it drops off.
Well, that franchise, I love Clive Barker. I really do. But at some point, they just, I think they stopped writing scripts.
The Pinhead becomes a little bit more of like an anti-hero.
Right, right. Yes.
Which is good and bad.
I watched the original Saw last night with Brooke. And I got to say, first of all, it's not nearly as gory as I remember. And I miss when Jigsaw was actually still bad, because now they did the same thing with him where everyone actually praises him because they found life through him torturing them, which I don't think that's normal.
He like makes escape rooms that give you like a moral sense of clarity.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, once he becomes a moral warrior, then it's like, what are we doing here?
What's
this
happening?
Is like, I want to watch a horror movie.
Yes, please, Lord. I don't need to see.
We're getting so close.
I will also say, at this point, when this episode drops, the Detective Popcorn plushes will be available.
Hey!
So, go to...
guess what, man? Detective Popcorn, when you have that plushie, you'll never be alone. You could have it in your car. You could have it in, if they let you take it through security at prison. If you're going to prison, maybe you can take it. I'm not sure. And guess what? What I'm going to advise against you, please don't fuck it. There's no reason to fuck it. I'm maybe even putting it in your head is a bad idea.
Right, I thought that
was. Please don't carve a hole into it and fuck the Detective Popcorn plushie while making the voice. It's not good. It's not right.
You just put that out into the universe, so we know for a fact it's going to happen at least once now. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves.
You got to give your chance. If you're out there and you're living, you got to make sure you're laughing. And then if you're laughing and you're living, you'll definitely be learning. And you'll love it. When you're living, you'll live and you'll learn.
Now that's an accent I can't even place.
That's European.
Ah!
Kameme unai, which is how Furby says, I love you.
Oh, that's very nice.
Oh, thank you.
143, I love you. That's from the Mr. Rogers documentary.
And that's Mr. Rogers' obsessive compulsive way of saying he loves you. Hail Satan.